Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, hello, everyone, and greetings from the San Francisco Bay Area. Yes, we are broadcasting live from San Francisco. And we just came to the end of a fabulous four-day event that was held out here in the Marriott. So we are broadcasting live from the Marriott, and I have an amazing guest with us today here in the studio. And my honored guest is none other than Dr. Sherry K. Huff, an amazing woman that I met here. And she's been hanging out with me in the virtual green room, and we are going to be bringing her on live in a moment. And I want you to know that you can call in. The chat room is not up, but you can call in. And the number you can call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. We have an amazing conversation set up for you tonight, as we are planning to really rock your world. So I want you to stay tuned and just call everyone that you know and tell them to join us in this conversation.
In the chorus of this life, some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
You know, I always get super excited when I have a guest on that is really a replica, if you may, of our theme song, that who really wants to be more than a friend. And this amazing person I met a few days ago when I arrived here in San Francisco, California. And she's such an amazing woman doing phenomenal work. So I just want you to brace yourself and listen to her story. And again, I want you to text, tweet, and call everyone that you know, because this is a conversation that you really, although it's going to be good on archive, but you want to hear it live. So, Dr. Sherry, are you there?
I'm here, and it sounds like, you know, I'm here in the hotel, but I'm not right there next to you. It sounds like you got a lot of action going on around you.
Are you hearing everything that's going on around me here?
Yes, just a little bit, but not too. I mean,
okay,
that was
the reason I chose upstairs because. But I'm hoping that that's going to be not too much of a distraction.
I was going to say when you're talking, it's not distracting at all. So
okay, wonderful, wonderful. So I want to say thank you for agreeing to do this conversation. And, you know, we had so much in common. You had so much warmth and you were so receptive when I approached you. And it is as if I have known you. So I just want to honor that part of you. And I want to thank you for being who you are. So with that being said, I want you to just grab the mic, take a few minutes, and just introduce yourself to my listeners. Tell them who you are.
Sure. My name is Dr. Sherry K. Hoff, and I grew up in northern Minnesota and lived in Wisconsin for a while and then ended up moving out to Colorado. I'm married and have 6 kids, 3 kids with my husband and 3 stepchildren, and it's a total honor to have met you as well, Dr. Daphne. It was sort of like a soul sister kind of thing when we met and talked for 2 hours before our event started.
Yes, and it's amazing because I am here at the Dick Sheep event with one of my clients, and I was so happy that I spoke with you and to find out that here you are, from the same state where my client was from. And I mean, that's not by accident. That is really not by accident. But Dr. Sherry, I mean, your life and your journey has been a phenomenal, phenomenal one. And I want to start from the beginning as, you know, as a child, because I know the path that you're on now, that was not where you started on. So let's go back to when you were a child, grew up, and let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Sure. You know, I was fortunate to be raised by parents who really taught me that I could do and be really anything that I wanted to do or be. I mean, they were, you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked, and my mom was really intent on my education. And, you know, actually, it's really loud, like the noise in the background. I don't know if there's any way to fix that, but I'm hearing it really loud in my ear.
Yeah, I'm going to, let me, I'm trying to get their attention. Just continue speaking, and then I'm going to try to get somebody. And can you imagine it's just too late? But I guess with all the energy around here, everybody, so I see somebody, I'm going to ask her to signal it. But just continue speaking.
Okay, great. So I grew up in a small community, and, you know, I just was putting one foot in front of the other, thinking that I had this great life and really feeling like I had a great life and not expecting anything tragic to really ever happen. And and then I came home from school one day as a teenager and I found my 15-year-old brother after he had taken his own life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really rocked my world. And, you know, I realized years later that, you know, when I went through the beginning grief of really just missing him terribly and feeling, you know, so sad, you know, that was one part of it. But I realized years later that probably the most devastating thing that happened to me that affected me for years was really this belief that I didn't deserve to be here on this planet. That the fact that I found him, and I really wish I could have traded places. Like, I wish my parents had my brother instead of me. And it was really devastating to realize that I carried around that belief for years. And it really affected the happiness and worthiness that I felt about myself.
So what
ended up happening is it really kept myself back for a long time, and I really didn't live fully, and I really didn't ever think that I would truly be happy again. And my goal was really to kind of just get to be okay. And, you know, I really did make it from that time, partly because I had really good people around me. And part of it was that somehow inside, I wouldn't stop moving forward. I kept putting that one foot in front of the other and knowing that I wasn't going to give up. And that's what got me through in those early years. And then I started changing. I started on my real spiritual quest and realizing that no matter what happened to me, that I could still choose my way of thinking and that I could still make choices for my life and that I could still make a difference and I could still live fully. I didn't have to be that one defining moment in my life. And so that's when I started being happy again. And that's when, you know, I met my husband and fell in love and started having kids. And at the same time, I was working on my career and I was kind of walking through the rungs of the corporate ladder, and I had kind of another moment where I thought, okay, I looked around me and I thought, I have, you know, a husband and great kids and a great job and great education. And then I had that moment where I just kind of felt like, is this all there is? And that's when I decided to start my company. My company is 7 years old now, so I'm really proud of the work that I do.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Dr. Sherry, you know what touched me during our conversation is when you mentioned to me about starting off as an author and writing the book, and you thought that you were going to write certain things, but the universe had something totally different for you to write. And the amazing thing I heard you said, you continue writing. You continue writing and doing what you were doing. And then you are now on book number 5, but you did not let all the prior qualifications and education you had and the career path, because you were on an extremely lucrative, extremely successful path, and you didn't let that stop you from stepping into becoming an entrepreneurship. What has that portion of the journey been like for you?
Yeah, so, you know, what was interesting is when I started my company, I envisioned that I would be, you know, working with corporations and doing individual development plans. And then I sat down to write my first book, and I thought I was writing a leadership book. And every time I sat down, I kept getting this nudge of, this is the kind of book you need to write. And I kept getting this nudge that it needed to be this spiritual book. And finally, I just kind of gave in, and I said, okay, I'm just going to write the book that wants to come out of me. And so that was my first book, Keys to Living Joyfully. And in that book, I told the story about my brother's death, and it's the first time I shared that story professionally, and I had a lot of fear because everyone in the corporate world and everyone, you know, in my career before that didn't know that story. I was very private about that story because I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be the girl whose brother died. I didn't want to be known as that. And then I just surrendered to it, and I wrote about it, and I was also really nervous when I wrote about it because I didn't want to bring anybody to a really dark place. And so then I just gave in to spirit, and I let the words come out in a way that they were meant to come out, and I just trusted. And, you know, I had a mentor at the time who I sent my book to her, and she said that when she read it, it was her, that chapter, that first chapter, that it was profoundly impactful, but she felt like she was in a safe place. And then I knew that it was written with the right tone, you know, that people would feel loved and supported even though they were reading something, you know, that was very sad and life-changing. And so so that's when I learned how important it was to listen to my own intuition, you know, the divine download that comes to you is really what I look at as intuition. People might say it's higher self or that gut feeling. You know, to me, it's a divine download. And anytime that happened to me, and actually all my books have been written from that perspective of they've been a gift to me and to the world. And, you know, I'm just kind of the person who sort of writes down the details and surrenders to the information that's coming.
Yes.
And so, you know, and 4 books later, I did write that leadership book. But
that's
that
right.
Peace, Living Joyfully is,
And, you know, that was in divine timing, because not until you were able to be healed from your brother's passing that you were able to do that. And I know we are not having this conversation today by accident, because there are many people who will be listening to this story who need exactly to hear your story in order to be healed from what they are going through.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took strength, sense, belief, fortitude, and courage for you to step into your greatness where you are now. And I know you have gotten a lot of healing, but I cannot even begin to imagine what your colleagues and counterparts from corporate thought about you when you decide to take the delve into what you're doing and make the switch. What was that experience like? You care to share some of their feedback? You don't need to call a name, but you can share some of those.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that was really vulnerable for me is that, you know, I had taught higher education, college classes, and, you know, which is a very, you know, you deal in facts, you deal in research.
Yes.
And so to write a spiritual book, and, you know, and then I went back to one of the universities that I taught, and I gave, I was part of a panel for something, and I gave, you know, my former boss and a couple of my former colleagues my book, and it was a big move of bravery for me to do that. And I mean, I felt very vulnerable, but at the same time, I felt liberated. And I also felt that, you know, we're in a place right now where even corporations are starting to understand the spiritual impact of people, you know, the spirituality that impacts people's lives. And and there is a deeper understanding, and it really, it's not about religion, it's about a person's personal connection to spirit.
And I
thought I would meet, you know, like rejection or judgment, and it was all an embrace. You know, the people who I've been connected to in my whole life have just embraced everything that I've done every step of the way. And so to people who feel fear in stepping into their calling or stepping into what they really feel that they're meant to do, that fear really isn't real. You know, that fear is... Yeah, it's just something that's there. And honestly, everything big that I've ever done, I've had some fear before I've done it, but I just do it anyway. And that's the only way to deal with fear.
Feel the fear, you know, feel the fear, and do it anyhow, because it never seems to amaze me how a lot of people, especially women, they always become so creative in finding out all the obstacles that prevent them, and they themselves hold themselves hostage from moving forward. And these are some of the reasons why stories like yours is so important and need to be told, because I can only speak from the place of being a woman, because that's the costume I wear. And I know as a woman, a lot of us, we are holding ourselves back because for some reason women don't support each other as freely as men do. And we have to come together in some form of sisterhood community and just to help each other. It doesn't matter where you're from. With the internet, a week ago I did not know you, and today we are here in this conversation because we know that this is going to be able to add value to some other women's lives. So for people who have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, what I was going to say is that, you know, when we were talking about women not wanting to really step up and do, I feel like it's connected to this feeling of having to make everybody happy. And a lot of times the last person we try to make happy is ourselves. And
exactly.
So,
you can't make anybody else happy. You got to make you happy, because what they say, life attracts life. But if you're happy, then you're going to be around happy people. If you're sad, that's what you're going to attract. So we need to, instead of casting blame, what we need to begin to do is to accept the responsibility. And whatever change we are seeking, it's really our responsibility to allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for over 20 years, well, basically I didn't know it then, but from the time that my brother died, I devoted my life to finding out what makes people happy and why are some people happy and some people aren't, and what does it take to live an inspired life, and how come some people can live inspired lives and other people don't. And the main thing that it comes down to is choice. You know, when people truly embrace that, you know, you're happy because you want to choose that happy lifestyle. I have that. I woke up one morning and I realized that I could be happy if I just chose to be happy, if I could find things to feel happy about, you know.
It's a choice. It's a choice. It's like just waking up, you know, just the thought that many people went to sleep last night. And you were privileged. You were granted the opportunity of waking up. That in itself is enough to be grateful for and to be happy about. But a lot of people, they get up and they don't realize it's a gift to be alive, because many people did not wake up. For the people who are listening us right now, Dr. Sherry, and they're thinking that, it's easy for them to stay because they haven't had it as bad as I have had it. You know, they don't realize my story. They don't know where I've been. I've had it real bad. You know, what words of encouragement would you like to give them?
Well, you know, one thing that I've learned is that, you know, when I started speaking about finding my brother after his suicide death when I was 17, when I started speaking about that, people started sharing their stories with me. And, I mean, stories, horrific stories from soldiers who had fought in different wars, stories from kids who, you know, saw people murdered next to them, you know, and just like really tragic, violent stories. And what I realized is that it's more common than uncommon to have an experience in your life where it's really tragic. almost everyone, I was in a group of six people, and all six of those people had all had an experience of a tragic death early in their life. And so what I want to say to people is that if you've experienced something tragic, you're not alone. And I also want to tell you that there are people who have it better, and there's people who've had it worse. And you can make it out, but you can only make it out when you decide that you want to get better, when you decide that you want to step into healing and step into ways of creating a sense of peace and a sense of contentment. And it can come. It really can come. And you know, when people hear about it early, you know, after a tragedy, nobody wants to hear that, well, you know, it can get better. And I actually don't say that to anybody who has just experienced something violent or terrible. I usually just, like, give them a spiritual hug, or, you know, if I'm in person, I'll hug them or put my hand on their hand, because what you need most right after a tragedy is what you need is just people to be close to you. And,
yes.
Yeah, and I also want to tell people who just maybe joined us that all this noise in the background is because we're at a live event in San Francisco, and Dr. Daphne is doing her show live. So here we're talking about these really deep things, and we've got hoops and hollers in the background.
You realize the noise is getting less now because people are leaving, they're packing up and leaving and embracing. So on their way over to embrace me, I'm signaling to them that I'm live on the air. I'm giving them thumbs up for this. They give me a kiss and a whoosh and move on. You know, and this is what was just such a transformation. Now it's time because there are so many people that are hurting in the world. And, you know, one of the reasons I do this show is for reasons like that, where people can know that it doesn't matter what you are going through, you are not alone, and there are people to help you. So it doesn't matter where you have been or what you are going through, there's always somebody willing to give you a hug, to love you and to embrace you and to encourage you, because you are important. But not until you think that you are important and you begin to accept that you are important, that things are going to start to happen to you. But once you step up and be bold and you step into your truth, then all of a sudden you can look in the mirror and say, I am somebody. Because there are lots of people who are thinking that they are nobody. And until you can see yourself as a real, you know, as a gem, and that you are precious, until you know that, then the rest of the world is not going to see you doing that. So it's just amazing. Just amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Just so amazing. Just so amazing. So, how old was your brother when he died? I don't know whether or not you had spent that during the time when it was noisy.
So he was 15. He was just, you know, getting into the prime of his life, and you know, he was an athlete, and you know, and really an amazing kid.
And so he was actually 1 year, you were 1 year older than he was.
Like a year and a half.
So, you know, that, God, by that age, that you could have decided to have your life in a whole different direction, but you didn't do that. That instead of using that as a barrier or as a crutch, you use that to fulfill your life. That's just so amazing.
And you know, when you think about it, okay, I was 17 when he died, and I did have like a year or two where I felt like my life was crazy. It was just really chaotic, and I also went to the place of, you know, I lost my best friend, I lost my brother, you know, I just, everything's gone and nothing matters. And I also went through a stage of just being really angry. And and so if people are in that kind of stage in their life, but I feel, looking back on that, I go, that's totally normal. My daughter lost her best friend last year, and and I can see all the stages in my daughter that she had from having her best friend die that I had when my brother died. And so I think it's important, I think it's important to have that internal knowing that we can get better, but also to not have the judging of ourselves, you know, saying, why am I not better faster? But to just hold that hope and just know that, you know, life can be better and it will be better, and to just keep going and really to find the tools to feed our souls. You know, one of the pivotal moments for me is my mom gave me a book when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, and it was Stephen Covey's Seven Habits. And when he tells a story about Viktor Frankl's life in that book. And when I read that Viktor Frankl, who was a concentration camp survivor, that that he could come to feel more free than the guards who were guarding him in the prison, I thought, I can make it through anything. I mean, honestly, that's and that was the first moment in my life where I truly felt and realized that our thoughts create our reality. And I thought, whatever I think changes my life right now, and I can change my thoughts.
That's right. And, you know, everybody has that same power. It doesn't take any training, any special training to do that. We all have the same ability to create that in our lives, but we first have to come to the realization that, yes, we are able to do that, and we have to believe in ourselves about doing that. Because I have found out on my personal journeys of adversities and things like that, I have learned that as often as I decide that I must, it doesn't matter how devastating the adversity is, when I make the decision to step up and learn, see the lesson in that, I always come out with a higher grade. So I was never a victim, but I was always a victor. And this is what we need to do. We need to take the time to learn the lesson out of the adversity that we are facing. And this is what gives us the strength to bounce back. This is what gives us the strength to really build and our resilience to know that we are capable to come back and use our stories to help others. It's like somebody drowning, and you stretch forth your arm to help them out of that pool or that ocean where they are drowning, and realize that you are here. You are safe for a reason. I mean, yes, that person went, and they are not here any longer. But look on the life you have had together. And you use those reasons to what you can do with the devastation. I want to remind those that are listening, and if you're trying to get into the chat room is not up, so you would need to call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And you can speak live on air. You do not have, we don't have the chat room up and running. So I want you to call in. You can ask any questions if you are someone that is familiar with Dr. Sherry's work. I want you to call in and share what your experiences has been with her. So again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166.
myself. I want to go back to you, Dr. Sherry. That was enough time, I think, for you to get some water to moisten your throat.
Yeah, that was a nice little break.
You know, there were so many people that were spent, so we're going to kind of move in the experience here at the event we just experienced here and move in and all of that. So what was this experience like for you here at this event?
The experience here in San Francisco?
Yes.
Well, you know, it was really fabulous. I made a lot of connections with people who really make a difference in other people's lives. So it was just really great to be here. And like you said, the energy in the room was really high. And, yeah, it was a transformational experience just, you know, being so connected to people who are really committed to making a difference.
Exactly. And, you know, it is amazing, one, you're open to receiving the abundance that you receive. You know, and I saw a lot of that happening here this week. People came and they were ready to receive, and that's what happened. People were blessed abundantly. People were gifted abundantly. And it's not that they were special. They just came ready. And because they came up and they decided that they were all in, they were played full out. So everybody is leaving here with their backpack or bunch because they really got blessed and can come, go up and really make a difference. So I can't wait to see what next year is going to be like. I can't wait to see what next year is going to be like for all the transformation, for all these people. Is there anything else you have on your mind? I know we did have
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I know, because the minute I began talking, three people decided to run fast. They're not only did they run fast, they run with the healthiest laugh that they had. I was saying, if there was anything you have on your mind that you want to share right now until we continue, we still have we still have 50-something minutes for, but I wanted to give you a 50-something.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I wanted to share is that, you know, when we met just a few days ago, how it was just sort of like one of those meant-to-be moments that, you know, we just started talking and ended up spending a couple hours together and really sharing deeply and having a really great connection. And I think that that is important for people to allow the space in their lives to have that happen, that, you know,
exactly.
To be open, yeah, to be open to new experiences and new people and to, you know, open your heart that in any given day something great can happen, you know, that there could be
any
new connection.
Moment.
Yes, yeah.
Any given moment, because I have to share this with the listeners, and I'm sure they're going to be cracking up, because I was sitting in Starbucks in the hotel, Starbucks here at the Marriott, and you came in, and you were having your breakfast, and I was sitting over there enjoying my music and looking at, and the Spirit said to me, she's here for the Big Shift event. Go talk to her. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm not saying anything to the lady. And then it keeps speaking louder and louder and louder and louder to me until I said, all right, I'm going to try and catch her eyes. If she smiled, then I'm going to smile back. But then more happened. I walked over and we began to speak. And then all of a sudden, we just connected and the rest is history that we are. That we had so much in common, you know?
Yeah. And you know, I just really love your openness, Dr. Daphne. I mean, you're just a very loving, caring person. And, you know, I can tell all your listeners just adore you. And so, you know, I think it's just wonderful the work that you're doing. You're a really terrific person.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I was sharing with a friend of mine that I met you. I was talking to her on the phone, so she said, "Oh, you're not shy at all." So I said, "Did I detect a little bit of sarcasm in there?" Because, you know, because there are some times that I'm not always very obedient to the unction of the Spirit. And you know what? I end up beating myself. So I've made a promise that when the Spirit tells me to do something, because my life does not belong to me, my work does not belong to me, so I'm just going to be obedient and to do what the Spirit tells me. I don't have to be clear on what's happening. It says, show up. I'm going to show up. I'm going to play full out. I'm all in. And nothing is going to stop that, you know? And that's what I wanted. Oh, we have a caller. So let me just go on here to my caller.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. Your first three digits are 516. Would you state your name and where you're calling from?
Sure. My name is Bonnie Gautler from New York.
Hello, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm very well.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi, Bonnie. I love you. Love you, love you.
Good evening, Sherry. How are you? I love you, too.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So, Bonnie, thank you for taking the time to call in. Do you have a couple of statements, couple of remarks? What would you like to share about this amazing guest that I have on?
Sherry is amazing. I will say it's perfect. Sherry's a life changer.
Yes.
I absolutely believe that because I met Sherry almost 3 years ago, and I followed Sherry. And and I've learned so much and grown and moved forward and done many things to...
Let's talk about some of the areas that you have grown in since you have met Dr. Sherry. Because, you know, people need to know because there are a lot of phobias out there and people don't want to open to receive. So let's break it down. Talk about some of the things that you have personally benefited from.
Oh, the very first? I think at first I told Dr. Sherry, no, I don't want a coach. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I think Sherry remembers that.
I'm doing
thing.
All right.
We didn't need to. We didn't need to go there, but I was able to do something I never imagined to do. I took classes and programs that Sherry gave and Be the Inspiration, one of the books that Sherry wrote, and Be Bold class, and I was pretty bold. I wound up writing a book
that I never
imagined I can do.
Exactly. And what has that, Bonnie, what has that done for your life? I mean... What's your life been like since those experiences?
Oh, from being quiet, getting bold. I've also gone on a more of a spiritual journey. And I tune into Sherry's success club that she shares and she teaches. And you get to... you get to learn about communication, leadership skills, things that inspire you. I think Sherry is a big inspiration.
And you take
action. That's why one of the reasons I call Sherry Action Sherry.
Yes.
I have to say that it's pretty bold, Bonnie, for you to call in and talk so much, you know, on Dr. Daphne's show. I think that's something... that I don't know that you would have done 3 years ago. So.
Oh, never.
So you're a rock star for calling in. And I know you share a lot in the programs that we do together, but to call in this situation, especially with the chaos of a live event, you blow me away with your confidence and your courage. You really have a spot in my heart, woman.
Well, you're in mine, and you'll always be there. I thank you and appreciate you. And thank
Bonnie,
you, Dr.
Bonnie.
Daphne.
Not yet, Bonnie. Can I let you in on a little and a little secret?
Sure.
113,000 people are listening to you right now. So the secret is out. You can't be shy. You can't be shy anymore, Bonnie. No more shy, Bonnie.
I'll give some credit to Sherry for me not being shy, but I gave her my word that I would listen tonight, and Sherry posted her link on Facebook, and I'm grateful, and I told her I'd be there, and I keep my word.
Yes.
That's who I am.
Thank you. Yes, yes, and if you think anybody else have any question, you know, encourage them, text them and tweet them and encourage them to call in. I want to thank you. I also want to invite you to be part of my community, Bonnie. I mean, if you mark my show favorites, you will always get the announcement each week who my guests are going to be. And I want to extend an invitation not only to you but to others too. Join me on Twitter. And on Twitter, I'm Dynamic Daphne. Also on Facebook.com, I'm Dynamic Daphne. And for those who are on LinkedIn, I want to invite you. So I honor you and I thank you, Bonnie, for calling me.
Thank you,
Michelle.
Thank you. And I'll enjoy listening to the rest. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Oh, that was really nice. That was really nice. And, you know, the thing that I think is the most important thing that Bonnie said was that she keeps her word. And that keeping her word to herself and to me and to all the people in her life, you know, that's the reason why she's made breakthrough success, is because when she decided to change, she committed to that. And she keeps her commitment. So that's a big key. Yeah.
And that is so powerful because all you have is your word. And if you cannot keep your word to yourself, you have nothing else. So I hope that there's nothing else that they heard out of what Bonnie said. I hope that rings true for them that my word is my bond. I must keep it. And it's not about keeping it to somebody else, but keeping it to you first. Because when you realize that you can keep your commitment and your word to yourself, then the rest is going to be gravy. You are going to be able to keep that word. So
Exactly. You know, I think the most damaging thing a person does is break promises to themselves.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, when you break promises to yourself over and over and over again, that's when your spirit starts to crumble a bit. And so one of the quickest ways to start feeling better is just to keep a promise that you make to yourself. So if you say that you're going to take better care of yourself, or you say that you're going to write in a journal, even just keeping one promise to yourself makes
just
a big
one.
Difference. Just one.
Exactly.
Yep.
Just one. And I tell people all the time, you don't have to do it for 24 hours. Do it for 5 minutes. Do it for 10 minutes. The important thing is that you make the decision. You make the decision to take action and you keep going. That is what is important. But people, and especially women, I keep going back there because I'm one and I wear that costume. A woman will always put everybody else in front of herself. The husband, the children, the community, the knitting club, the gardening club, everything else goes in front of her. And I tell them, unless you can put yourself on the front burner and keep yourself on a pedestal, you're not going to be a good spouse. You're not going to be a good community leader. You must love yourself first and treat yourself with the highest regard. And once you do that, then you are going to be able to serve everyone else that you are committed to, you know? A couple of people are going back.
I'm just letting everybody just kind of absorb that.
Not many people up here on the second floor now. There's still some people inside, but I'm right here in this little corner by myself. So I want to encourage the people who are listening. Again, I want to apologize for the chat room being down, but we have 40 minutes remaining. So call in now, 646-915-8131. 66. So I want to go back over when you transitioned from leadership into becoming an entrepreneur. Everything was easy for you, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. There were no challenges there, right?
Oh, no. You had everything hunky-dory. I mean, a woman of your caliber, everything was handed to you on a golden platter, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, so, you know, when I made the choice to be an entrepreneur, first of all, part of me, I knew it was 100% the right choice. But then the other part of me was just terrified because I was scared to death of not knowing when the money was going to come in. So I had many times of having to just kind of surrender that feeling. And, you know, in fact, when I've talked with people who've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs, and I actually now, you know, do work with some small business people. But one of the biggest things that calibrate whether you'll be successful or not is how much risk you can take, because really every moment you're in business, even once you have an established business, it's never a feeling of knowing what's going to happen next for sure. You know, like if you work for someone and you get, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 every 2 weeks, you know that money is coming in. Except that when people say to me, it's so scary being a business person, I tell them, how many jobs have you had in the last 5 years? You know, have you ever had a feeling of being unemployed? And so I think that when people have that job, they have a false sense of security. Like, okay, I know that that paycheck's coming, but, you know, is that company going to shut down? Are they going to do layoffs? And I don't mean for people to be scared, but the truth is, and this is how I made peace with this in my own business, is that I realized that no matter what in life, we're never guaranteed anything. And you have to become
nothing is guaranteed, and you have to take risks. You must take risks in life, especially when it has to do with your personal life. You must go out on the limb. If you're going to play, you must play full out. There is not any halfway in.
And oftentimes it's doing the thing that you fear most, or that makes you feel the most vulnerable, is the thing that makes you grow the most.
God, and I can tell you, every time I step out on the limb and jump, I come back, I feel so good. I'm thinking, I last year for the first time I did zip lining, and I was telling somebody else that I want to do bungee skydiving. You know the one that jump off the plane? And the first thing the lady's telling me, oh, you know how many people fracture places out? They fracture the back, they fracture this, and they fracture that. I said, no, I've never heard about any of those. I just heard about the thousands of people who have made the dive successful. Because if you continue living in fear, you'll never reach anywhere. So I'm not about the few that broke their backs, because I honestly and truly never heard about any of those. But I've seen, I think the last article I was reading was about a woman who was 85 years old someplace, and she made the jump. So those are the ones that I want to remember. And I'm so excited about my determination that, you know, sometimes ago earlier in my life, I made people talk me out of things, but I'm so excited about the work I continue to do on me, so that I will live a life that has no regret, and I will live a life that others can watch I'm marching so that they can make their great step and move. Wasn't it?
You know what it's really about is living fully. You know that that you don't. You know, it's kind of like the don't leave any stone unturned. You know that you make the choice that you step into life. Like I realized when I was doing my planning at the beginning of the year that you know I went, one of the reasons why I went into business is I wanted to have, I started my company as I wanted to have more freedom. And I have been able to be, you know, at my kids' athletic activities and, you know, really be present. And I've been able to do the things that I wanted to do. But I realized that I wasn't doing, like, some of those zest kind of things of life. So in January, I decided that this year I'm going to take 6 vacations. And so so one of those vacations, I went to the Bahamas, and I was in the Bahamas for 10 days. And I had been for about a year and a half saying that I wanted to swim with the sharks.
Yes.
But what I
I was going to ask you to share that. I was going to ask you to share that experience, too.
Yeah, so the thing is that what I meant when I said I wanted to swim with the sharks is that I meant that I wanted to, like, swim in a controlled area, like maybe I'd be in a cage and the sharks would be on the outside. So what happened was I was in a kayak. That's kind of a boat for people who maybe don't know what a kayak is. It's kind of like a canoe but lower. And I was on the ocean in a kayak, and my girlfriend was in the back, and I was in the middle. And we were going along the shore line, well, about 40 to maybe 50 feet from shore, and her dog kept trying to swim out to us. And so, you know, and we kept trying to yell for the dog to go back because, you know, I mean, we just, you know, we were just like, Jade, go back, go back. So then all of a sudden my friend from behind me says, oh, my God, Sherry, a shark. And this shark was going straight for her dog. And so she took her kayak paddle and hit the shark with the kayak paddle. And the shark veered off to the left. And then we, like, we didn't say a word. We just paddled, like, everything, and we went up to the dog, and we pulled the dog into the kayak. Now, kayaks are tippy, so it's just a miracle the kayak didn't flip over. But we got the dog into the kayak, and then we, you know, headed back to where we came from. And the whole time we were heading back, the shark was circling our kayak. But we still, we didn't say a word. We were just absolutely calm. We were on a mission or, you know, paddling our kayak. And we got back, you know, to shore. And that's when the adrenaline kicked in and my heart was just pounding. But I also learned to not say that I wanted to swim with the sharks. I should say specifically what I want to do because I don't want to accidental swim with the sharks.
Exactly. And be careful what we ask for. And when we ask for something, be specific about what we're asking for and how we want it delivered, right?
Exactly. But, you know, what was so interesting, too, about that trip is that I had put this app on my phone with a sunset, and I have looked, and I'm passionate about sunsets. I have all these pictures of all these different sunsets. And so I was looking at this sunset every day for 2 years, and then when I was in the Bahamas and I was taking all these pictures of sunsets, I looked at my picture that I took, and I realized it was exactly the same picture that I'd been looking at on my phone for 2 years. And there I was in front of the sunset I had been looking. Yeah, that's the power of a goal. And I didn't even know that I was setting a goal. I just was looking at that sunset, and then I found it. So it was really amazing.
And this is why I'm telling, you know, people, you know, you have your intentions, and once you set your intentions, things are going to happen, but you have to make the decision to set your intentions to get those things happening. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I also had an experience in the Bahamas where I was sitting out on the lanai with my two friends, and we saw an angel. The sun had set, and it was, you know, dark sky, and we saw this huge angel with huge wings, and all three of us saw it. I said, "You guys, look at the angel," and we all saw the angel, and then it was like poof, and it disappeared. And then we also saw a falling star, and that was 3 days before my shark experience.
Yes. And one of the reasons, because, you know, a lot of people don't believe in angels and they don't believe in miracles and everything, but a few nights before that incident happened, you had a dream, too, about, you had a dream about an angel, right?
Yeah, I did. And and then, so when I woke up in the morning after seeing the angel, I wrote a poem, and I'd like to share it, but I was kind of hoping before I share it, I was kind of hoping it would start to get quieter where you are. So do the crowds look like they're dispersing at all?
You know, this is, I want to remind people, and oh, yes, thank you, Bonnie. Bonnie's telling me, Bonnie connected with me, so she said, thanks for inviting her. So it's a pleasure to have you with Bonnie. And I want to remind people we have 29 minutes remaining, so I want to encourage you to call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. And my honored guest is Dr. Sherry K. And we are broadcasting live from the Marriott Hotel here in the San Francisco area. So let us hear from you and all of you folks up there in Connecticut. You're probably freezing cold, but I'm out here and it is warm and I'm very excited. So call in 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. You can call in at any time. Okay, so Dr. Sherry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I had just been talking about the poem that, and again, like all the writing that I do, is like a divine download, especially when it comes to the poems that I write. And and so I was kind of hoping that it would quiet down there before I read it because it's
It's getting quiet. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 people. So I'm indirectly doing sign language. I'm doing sign language as they go past, and they're honoring that. So I love them for that because I know we have the poem. I know we have the poem, but we didn't want them to be disturbing that.
It's definitely an interesting experience.
I tell you something. When was it? I think last year, I broadcast live from the Cancer Society catwalk in New York City. And I had to compete against the live DJ and something. It was something else because he was trying to outdo me. He was playing his thing so loudly, and I said, you know something? We're still going to get this done. I say, I love you in spite of that. So this was nothing to what usually happens when I broadcast live out there. So I'm glad that this,
well, that's
it's
true.
Really
you never
quiet.
Know what you're going. you never know what you're going to experience.
Exactly, and it's life. You know, I am just so excited about these opportunities because when I did traditional radio, I had to go into the studio to do the radio. Now I just need to plug in my stuff. And I just rock and roll. I don't have to worry about the weather to do the studio. Normally, I would have to tell you, get a flight, come to Connecticut and all of that. We don't have to do that. We just decide on a time and do it. And everything is a blessing. And it's the same thing that people need to do with their lives. When an opportunity comes, you don't really need to have all the pieces together. Just
take the risk. You must take the risk. And you, we listened and we heard what Bonnie said. And, you know, and she stepped up to the plate.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I'm a fan of action, and I was talking to a woman today, and I said, you know, I realize I'm one of those people that I kind of say yes to life. Like, I'm more likely to say yes to something than say no.
You know, it's amazing. Okay, so we have 25 minutes remaining. I want to ask you, if you would create a list for women, a kind of a checklist that you want them to use to create the change in their lives that they over-deserve, if you may, because a lot of time women have been putting themselves back on the back burner for too long. If you would create a list for them, what would that list look like?
Okay, so you're asking me for a checklist of if people
if
want
you could
to
create a list that would guide them along that they could work with.
Okay. Sure. Okay. So the first thing that would be on the checklist would be extreme self-care. You know, taking really good care of yourself, meaning your mind, body, and your spirit. And I find that a lot of women are in their heads a lot. So they probably need to pay more attention to their bodies and their spirits. You know, we tend to overanalyze and, you know, overthink things and all of that. So that would be first, extreme self-care. And so, I mean, take naps. In fact, during one of the lunch breaks, we had an hour and a half lunch break, and I went to my room and I slept for an hour. And then when I came back and I was sitting next to these guys who I had been sitting next to earlier, and they were talking about what we did for lunch, and I said, well, I went back to my room and I slept for an hour. And they were like, oh, my gosh, that was brilliant, kind of like, why didn't they think of that? And, you know, so it's really managing your energy. And I knew that, you know, with all the people and the time and all the activities that I needed to protect my energy. And so it's, you know, doing things like that, you know, taking a look at your day, your week, and saying, when can I get some rest in there? So then the next thing I would say is to practice journaling every day. And people who resist that, I just want to tell you that you don't need to be a writer and you could write one sentence, but I credit my journaling practice for my own personal everyday happiness that I have in my life, because it helps me, I use it to shift my thinking. And so I would recommend journaling every day. I recommend meditating every day, whether it's prayer or meditation, even for 2 minutes makes a big difference. In fact,
I have
what I call, you know, I have a 21-day freedom and happiness program, but when people do this 21-day program with me, I require them to follow 4 pillars of success, which I believe sets everybody up for optimum results. And there are 4 simple things to do every day, and I think if everybody did these every day, they'd have just amazing results. So, you know, I have different exercises for each of those 21 days, but the 4 pillars are done every day. And so that's just journaling, writing, you know, at least one sentence, but some people write more in a journal every day, drinking tons of water every day, moving your body for 10 minutes every day, whether it's stretching or dancing or whatever, and then meditating for 2 minutes or more. Like, some people will do like 30 minutes, but at least, you know, 2 minutes to just sit and be silent. And practicing those 4 things, it's just a few minutes. That's like 20 minutes.
Yes. I want to interject here a minute, because there's a lot of stigma about meditation and all of that, and I want to tell people to just get out of their religious ways, because a lot of people have allowed religion to hold them hostage, and all that it means is just to be still, sit
be still and quiet yourself, and because people have to get intimate with themselves, and until they can decide to do that, they're still working against themselves, because a lot of us grew up into religious communities, and we have allowed those things to hold us hostage. And I tell people, don't hit that which you don't know. Go out there, explore, because there's a lot of healthy practices out there that can help people to evolve. But they have held on to these practices for way too long, and this is why they are not blossoming and they are not blooming. So I want to applaud
you
for...
I love that you said that, because, you know, I grew up in a very traditional religious family, and some of the, I realize, you know, some of the words that I use now would have been, like, absolutely foreign to me in, you know, growing up in that experience. And, you know, now, like, if someone says to me, well, I've tried meditating, but I do it wrong, I can't get the silence, and I just look at them and I say, well, to me, there isn't a wrong way to meditate. You know, meditation,
exactly.
That's just,
exactly.
It's just like you said, it's about being still and, you know, like some people worry about the posture, you know, sitting straight up with their legs crossed. And I said, I do most of my meditation laying down, you know, I lay down and
exactly.
I close my eyes,
exactly.
You know, so,
you know,
so it's really just about being quiet, you know.
That's right. Just still yourself. Still yourself and
yeah.
Focus inside. That's all you have to do. We're not hitting or we're not prejudiced against all the other people that does all the other things, but it is not a requirement. It's not a requirement. It's like people always say, pray for me. I said, no, I'm pray with you, because prayer is simply a conversation. But people have so much religious things connected to all of that, and this is why they keep tripping over their own feet, you know?
Right,
they are
right.
The ones that is tripping over their own feet. Well,
Right, and I think, you know, not that I want to turn this whole conversation to religion or anything like that, but I think that I think the most liberating thing when it comes to spiritual connection is for everybody to realize that they can connect directly to God or source or spirit, whatever word they use, that you don't need a minister or, you know, a person to tell you how to connect to God.
Exactly.
Now, I still love, I mean, I go to church on Christmas and I, you know, and I love the ceremony. I love the music. I love the rich tradition. But I know that there are people who feel like they have to have some kind of religious leader in their life to tell them, you know, how they're supposed to connect to God or how they think about God. And I just encourage people to develop your own relationship
and I ask,
you know,
experience all
that.
All the time I ask people, so what happens when it's 12 midnight, you can't get hold of your spiritual leader or pastor? What are you going to do? You're not able to get on your knees. You're not able to sit up in your bed and start a conversation for yourself because that person is not there. You got to learn how to start that conversation. And it's not a ritual. It's an open dialogue that allows you to communicate with your source. And that's what you need to understand about doing and allow to do yourself. You know, it's amazing how all the labels has deterred people and really has blinded people from all the benefits and advantages that they themselves can create for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But because people have all these habits and practices, oh, if I'm not doing it this way, it's not the right way. If I'm not going to that church, it's not the right church. It's not. And so much I tell people a lot of time, I say, when you all turn up to heaven, you're going to be surprised because a lot of people you didn't want to stand behind on the grocery line is going to be right there before you. But as on the other hand, when you look and realize it's heaven right here on earth and you start to enjoy it, then
you're going to be able to create your own happiness. Okay. So, while you take a sip of water, we have 15 minutes remaining, 15 minutes and 34 seconds, and I want you to share the poem. I hope you realize it's quiet here. I have two people sitting to waiting to talk to me, but that's a good thing. It's all quiet here, so we want to use this moment to share the poem. Then I want to ask you to summarize our conversation for today, and then I want you to tell people how they can reach you at the end of that, all of that. So you can go ahead and you can summarize the conversation now, and then you share the poem at the end before you tell them how to get in touch with you.
Okay. Okay. So you want to kind of get like a breakdown and summary. Okay. I will.
Yeah,
I'm happy to summarize. Yeah, I'm happy to summarize. And but I do want to finish the checklist because I realized that we kind of went off the checklist topic.
Okay.
And I think that's important. So really, my four pillars, that's really what I would say would go under the self-care. So self-care, and then once you're practicing really good self-care, I think, you know, looking at getting in touch with your passions in life, you know, really looking at what you love to do, what makes you feel like you thrive. And so for some people it might be, like for me, like poetry is something that I do because it's just like freeing to my soul. And so for some people it might be music, it could be painting, it could be having a conversation with someone, and it could be a multiple things, but start doing the things again that just make you feel alive. It could be dancing, because when we start to feel overwhelmed and we start to feel unhappy, a lot of times it's because we have let go of the things that just really delight us in life. So, you know, find some of those things again. And then I would look to, after doing that, so you're feeling better, you're doing more fun things, and then I would look to your life purpose. You know, what are you here on this planet to do? And for me, when I look at my life purpose, I've devoted my entire life, my entire adult life, to helping people by our lives. And it's never wavered, even though I've done lots of different things, that's always been the undercurrent. And I know that when I'm in that space, my life rocks. When I step away from that, my life gets miserable. And so for people who are having a hard time finding their path, finding, you know, what really feels like a purpose, it's about looking back over your life and saying, when did I feel like I was in alignment? Like, even when I was 5 years old, I would play school and I was always the teacher, you know? So I was always like, you know, I mean, like teacher, mentor, that kind of person my entire life, even from the time I was a little kid. And so those kinds of things offer clues. And then when you start stepping into your purpose, you really just come alive. There was a study out that said there's really three kinds of happiness. And the first is, you know, just pleasure. And the second level is being in the place of like ease and flow, you know, so you're doing work that you love. And then the final stage of happiness is really living a life of meaning and purpose. And so when you're in that place of meaning and purpose, that is the happiest place that you can be. And actually, usually when you're living a life of meaning and purpose, you also have the pleasure and the flow. But that's highest level of happiness. So you know, to just kind of summarize, sort of, we talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, but listen, we only have 11 minutes going, so why don't you do the poem, and then you tell people how they can reach you.
We'll see what happens after
you do the poem, because I think that poem is very important. I want them to hear it. Yeah.
And so people who have joined us a little bit later, I wrote this poem when I was in the Bahamas. It was the morning after my friends and I saw an angel in the sky and then a falling star after that. And so I'm just going to read the poem to you. It's called Night Angel. The breeze blowing softly, waves colliding in the darkness. Looking up, I see Night Angel offering comfort, peace, and calm, protecting my heart, caressing my soul, sparking my courage, soothing my heart. Gone in a flash, but remembrance holds on. I wonder for an instant, then a falling star reassures. Message received, I am not alone. I am loved, I am cherished, free to be me. The warmth in my heart spreads slowly through my body. Love radiates out, encompassing, encircling, widening its reach. I am connected to all, to myself, and to Source, complete, whole, and odd at the simplicity of it all.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I pray that people will go back and download this segment and keep listening to this, because this piece of poetry will certainly help each person that listens to it to connect to their authentic selves and to really treasure who they are and begin to love themselves with purity, unconditionally. And I want to thank you so much, Dr. Sherry, for sharing that. So we have 9 minutes remaining approximately. And I just want to honor you once again for the work that you are doing. And I look forward for this relationship to blossom. And I pray that the universe find it fit to, you know, to connect us deeper, to do more things. So I'm just open and ready, and whatever the universe wants me to play in, I'm willing to play. So
I love that word, play. So people can connect with me through my website. It's www.lifeisjoyful.org, and that's lifeisjoyful.org, just like the word spell. And on that page is a free gift. It's called Four Keys to Living an Inspired Life. And people can register for that and download that MP3. And there's a worksheet that goes along with it. And it is powerful. It is so powerful and uplifting. And you listen and you go, yeah. So it's really good. And if people want to check out my books on Amazon, it's tinyurl.com/SKH Amazon. So that's the web link. But you can also, once you're on my website, lifeisjoyful.org, there's a books tab. So you know, don't have to, you know, hand write down that link. But I also am willing to do a free strategy session for anybody who's listening and wants to spend some one-on-one time with me, and you can also access that on the website as well. So I'm just really honored by you, Dr. Daphne, and we definitely made it through our challenges, all that noise.
Yes.
I'm just, you know,
yes,
it was exciting. There was so much energy, but I'm so happy that it got quiet in the end, because it just feels like a natural kind of like, you know.
And we have an appointment here after the show, so are you meeting me in the lobby or where?
Lobby sounds great. Okay.
All right, so I'll meet you in the lobby, and then we'll go up and meet with the other ladies. I want to thank you. I honor you. I know this will not be the first time that you're on the radio here. So I honor you, my sister, and thanks for the value that you have brought to my listeners this evening.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everybody listening. And thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie,
fabulous woman.
Me.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
And for those of you who have not yet connected with me, please do so on Twitter. I'm at Dynamic Daphne. On Facebook.com, I'm Dynamic Daphne. I'm on Pinterest. I am on Instagram. I am on LinkedIn. So hook up with a sister and let us do some things together. I have some amazing programs that are coming up. I want you to also visit my website, DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com, and also DaphneClarkHudson.com. So just visit there. Get in wherever you can so we can start doing things together and to change our world. And again, it was an honor and a privilege for me to broadcast out here live in the San Francisco Bay Area. It is an honor, and I tell you, it is good to be warm out here. So long, everybody. I'll see you again on Wednesday. And remember that you were born for a destiny, and do not allow anyone or any situation to deter you from that. So stay blessed and follow your destiny.
Showing me. God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.